Howdy, everybody. Most of you we've met before, or I've seen you somewhere before. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Pastor Lewis's grandson, Lewis Nelson Cowan III, but everybody calls me Lee. And the old joke is, if we had a kid, we were going to name him Lewis Nelson Cowan IV and call him L. I'm just going to keep shortening that name. Get as much use out of it as we can. So, the slides didn't print out, so I'm going to have to stand here and lean and look at the screen. So if y'all can look at the screen with me. Some of y'all were here the last time I spoke. It's been a couple months back. Does anybody remember what we talked about? What was the last time I was here? We talked about a battle of wills, and we talked about not my will, but your will be done, and how Jesus said that. And we talked about the divine but. That was Jesus's, and I wanted to call the sermon Jesus's really big butt, but Granddaddy said, no, we got to call it the divine butt. So that's what I put in the slideshow. That's what we called it. We called it the divine butt. But Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And we talked about how that's a tool for us today, whatever situation, whatever circumstances we're facing, not our will, but your will be done, and saying that to the Lord. So today we're going to talk about answering the call, kind of a continuation. One of the things we talked about and last time was that God has good plans for you, and that's in Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And in Jeremiah, you know, it says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. We all know that God has a plan for each of our lives. I think that's pretty common sense if you've been around Christianity for any length of time. But I think that sometimes we forget that. So we're going to say it together. We're going to say this together, okay? God has good things for me. All right? Now the second one, God has good plans for me. Okay? Do you receive that this morning? Okay. Amen. All right. Let's move on to the next group. All right. So all of these people, all right, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jacob, Gideon, Mary. There's a whole list in the Bible, right? We could go through a list of all these people that God had plans for. God used them. The reality of each of these people, the one thing they have in common, they all answered the call. Each and every one of them. Moses, when he was out tending his father-in-law's stock, could have avoided the burning bush. Could have said, I don't know what that is. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm walking this way. But he answered the call. Think about each of these people. I don't know where you're at here today, but God uses us wherever we're at, whoever we are. Some people say, well, you know, I have a criminal record. I have a criminal record. I was a prisoner. I was a felon. I don't think I can be used by God. Look at Moses. Moses was a murderer. You know, some people say, well, you know, Brother Lee, I'm just getting on up there in years, and I just don't know. I don't know if the Lord can use me. I'm just kind of old and just barely getting around. Look at Abraham. I mean, each of these people, some people say, I'm too young. I'm too young for God to use me. I'm not in a position for God to use me. Look at Mary. Here's Mary, young girl. A lot of people don't know this, but the estimate is she was about 13, 14 years old. And an angel comes to her and says, hey, this is what's about to happen. And she says, may it be done to me. She answered the call. She received what the Lord was about to do in her life. I just want to share with you kind of something that happened in my life. And as I was talking to my dad about this message this morning, he said, you know, a lot of times people, they think those are big things. Those are huge things. I don't know that God has big, huge plans for me. I want to share with you just a real quick story, okay? I have a neighbor. He is he's a former convict. He had a rough childhood. If you saw him, you would think he was a gang member, but he's not. He's a really good guy with a good heart. And I was talking to him one day, and he said, He had lost his job. He had worked at a rent-a-center, moving furniture and stuff, delivering furniture and whatnot. And he said, I've lost my job, and my mother's really sick. And she lived in New York, and he was trying to get back to New York. And this was right in the middle of the pandemic. And so he was looking to get a test, and he said, but I don't know how I'm going to raise the money. And I looked at him, and we were talking, and I said, man, I'll be praying for you. As I had said so many times to him before with situations and circumstances, I'll be praying for you. So I walked back over to the house, and he lives across the street from me. And so as I walked back into the house, I was praying. And I was like, Lord, I pray that someone comes along that can help him, that can give him some money to help him get home. And God said, hey. Yeah, exactly right. He said, hey, remember that money I gave you? That money you've been trying to figure out what to do with? Yeah, it's you. I'm sending you. And so I said, okay. So I went and I got a gift card to Southwest Airlines. You can get those. And I got him one, and I put the money that God told me to put on there. And I went across the street to him, and I said, here you go. And he was flabbergasted. He said, no, that's too much. I can't take that. And I said, it's not from me. It's from God. God wants you to know that he loves you. He loves your mother. And he's going to heal your mom. She's going to get better. And you're going to get a chance to see her. And eventually he received it. It was a bit of a struggle. Eventually he received it. And he hugged me and he cried. He broke into tears, a grown man. And we were both standing there crying, hugging in the driveway in front of his house. I think the neighbors thought we were a little goofy over there. I don't know what they thought was going on. Didn't matter. God was doing an awesome work right there in his life. And we think to ourselves, sometimes we can discredit those things and say, oh, that's not a big deal. That was just a small thing. It changed his life. He went to get to see his mom. His mom did get better. And she's still alive and kicking to this day. And every time I see him, it's, hey, is there anything I can pray for you about? And it just lit a fire in him for the Lord. God is doing amazing, miraculous stuff all the time, all around us. And he is inviting us. He's calling us to partner with him and to do awesome and amazing things and be a part of that and have his spirit flow through us and change lives. That's what he's calling us to. But sometimes we have trouble with answering the call, and we're going to just go over a few things real quick. We might even beat the Catholics to the butter churn. I'm not saying, I didn't say anything bad about anybody. They go get to church earlier than we do. So we're going to talk about a few things that keep us from answering the call. So as I was considering this message, as God was giving me this message, it was this real kind of interesting analogy that God gave me. And the analogy is telephones. You think about in the Old Testament, the way that God talked to people. Does anybody remember how that worked? There was a temple. Does anybody remember that? They had sacrifices. That's where God's presence dwelled. Here's a scripture. It talks about, it says, and I'm just going to go to the end. The glory of the Lord filled the temple in Ezekiel. That's how it worked. God's presence was in the temple. And if you wanted to talk to God, you came to the temple. You talked to the priest. You had to go. Does anybody remember growing up? I do. When you had an old landline phone. Yeah. And it was usually one place in the house, right? Like in the hall, way back in the day. Yeah, we had a couple when I was a kid. I remember we got our own landline one Christmas. And Christmas morning, we heard a new phone ring. And me and my sister went, oh, we got our own phone. We were so excited. And we're like, oh, our friends can call us. Because we were always having to get on the same line and have to, you know, oh, Lee, get off the phone, you know. It was that kind of thing. And we had a cord. We could only go so far. Have you seen the commercial? There's a commercial recently, a guy on the phone, and he's like, this is the good old days. And he's got like a mullet, And he's talking about how it's awesome to have a corded phone. Hey, I can do anything anybody else can do. And he's walking out in his backyard on a phone that's connected into the, you know, the living room. That's how it used to be. That was the old Testament. That was the old ways. But then Jesus came. And he tore the curtain. We were talking about this the other day. He tore the curtain from top to bottom. The place where his presence dwelled, ripped open. And he placed his spirit within us. It's new school, the new school way of things. It's in the New Testament. It says, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. And then the next scripture here, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? 1 Corinthians. We don't need the temple anymore. We are the temple wherever we go. So nowadays, we all have this, right? We've got a cell phone with us. We can have a conversation anytime we want with whoever we want anywhere in the world. So it's the same thing with God. We don't need to go to the temple where the priest dwell. We don't want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, not to say we don't want to come to church, but to have a conversation with God, it is simple as just talking, and he hears us, right? Now, sometimes God is talking to us. And when we get to that, let's ask this question. How's your battery? How's your battery? What's going on the inside there? Are you passionate about the Lord? The verse here, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Some of us, and hey, I'm guilty of it just as everybody else. Sometimes my passion for the Lord wanes. Times are tough. I'm distracted. Whatever it may be, I'm not focusing on my relationship with the Lord. You think about how the Lord, God in heaven, the one who created everything, pursued us. He came after us. It says he leaves the 99 to come after the one. That's what he does. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I was working in an electronics manufacturing plant. God put me in the right place at the right time. The right person came along and said something, and I ended up going to work in Sugarland. It was an hour from where I lived. I was staying in Angleton. I was still living with my parents. I was working 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. 7 days a week. It was rough. I was getting about 3 to 4 hours of sleep. I don't know how many times I was coming off the beltway to get on 288, and then I would wake up exiting 288. And I would say, whoa, I guess this is my exit. It was crazy. I don't doubt that there were angels driving that car for me from time to time. But that's where God had put me, and I knew it, and so I stayed in that position. I had answered God's call. He said, this is the job I want for you. And so I started working there. I worked there 14 months. I got to share the gospel with people from all over the world. But the craziest story was at the end. There was a it kind of sounds like a Maury Povich show, but there was a Vietnamese midget lesbian couple. And so I had a conversation with them. It was Fo and Cindy, and Fo came to me and she said, hey, you need to talk to Cindy. And I said, what's going on? And she said, well, you just need to talk to her. She's real sad. So I said, okay. So I said, Cindy, I was good friends with both of them. And I said, Cindy, what's going on? And Cindy said, me and Fo broke up. And I said, oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. And I said, well, and so we start having a conversation, and she says, well, I get what you're saying. You think I should date men. And I looked at her, and I said, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. And she looked at me, and she was kind of startled. And I said, I'm saying people will always let you down. And so I started talking to her about God. She had grown up Buddhist. She knew nothing about God. And so I spent the next 15 minutes just sharing with her, Jesus loves you. God loves you. and telling her the whole story. She listened to the whole story and she received it. And she said, okay, what the last kind of picture I gave her, because she was big into gambling. She really liked to gamble. And Christmas had just happened. And I said, it's like God has given you the winning lottery ticket and he's put it under a box under your Christmas tree. And she said, okay. And I could see that hit her. And she said, okay. She walked away. A couple weeks go by. Foe comes to me. And because we work different shifts, I didn't always get to see them. Sometimes they worked in the evening shift and we overlapped, and sometimes they didn't. So a couple weeks go by, Foe comes to me and says, hey, you need to talk to Cindy. I said, okay, what's going on? Is she upset? She goes, no, she's happy, and it's weird. I said, okay, Foe. So I talked to Cindy. Cindy came over, and I said, hey, Cindy, what's going on? And she looked at me, just a smile as bright as the sun. And she said, I opened the box. I was like, praise God. I found her a Vietnamese Baptist church that, you know, spoke Vietnamese. I went and ordered a Vietnamese Bible from the Christian bookstore. It took about a week to get in. I gave it to her. We talked. I gave her the address to the Vietnamese Baptist church. She was so excited. You could just see the new birth, that she was a new creation in Christ Jesus. It was amazing. A week later, I got laid off. I spent 14 months at that place. And if it was all just for her, it was worth it. So, do we need to pursue the caller? God is calling us. Are we pursuing him? Do we have a passion for him? Are we spending our time focused on God and what he wants for us? Are we trying to know him more? That's the question. And that leads us to the next one. Do you have your phone with you? Granddaddy, we went to Blackbeard's, and he forgot his phone. He needed to call someone. And he was like, oh, I left my phone at the house. Well, guess what? He can't make a phone call, can he? He looked at us, and the number he needed to call, we didn't have in our phones. So he was stuck. He couldn't make the call, right? So this, to me, this next scripture here, points out something. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what's true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Do you have your phone with you? Go ahead. We got to prepare for the call. I was talking to my daughter. My daughter struggles in school. And she goes, well, and Dad, what's even the point? And so we had a talk. And I said, you think about Moses. Moses was doing what he needed to do, doing what he was supposed to do, so that he was in the right place at the right time. I said, my daughter's name is Zia. I said, Zia, future you is counting on current you to do what you got to do to get to the place where you need to be. God hasn't called you yet. God doesn't have some giant call on your life. There's not a big thing going on in your life. You're just going to high school, you know. You're just trying to do the things, but you have a calling on your life now. And the calling today is to do your homework, is to show up and do what you're supposed to do day in, day out. And if you do that, one day in the future, when God calls you and he has a big plan for your life, you're going to be able to answer that because you're going to be in the right place. You prepared. This verse talks about the scriptures and how it prepares us. So the question today is, are you spending time in God's word? Are you spending time with him? That prepares us. The time to memorize scripture is before the attack. You know what I'm saying? We think about all the military engagements throughout history. When was the time to prepare? Did they prepare as they're getting attacked? No. They prepared in advance. They built up their military forces in advance. There's a lot of times we say, oh, nothing really big's going on. God's not really, I mean, you know, I'm just doing what I'm doing day in, day out. Yeah. And in those little things, you're being obedient. You're answering the call of doing what he's called you to do. And if you're spending time with him in his word, he's preparing you. And you're answering the call in the little things so that when the big thing comes, you're ready. Amen? All right. The next question we got, is your phone on silent? How many times, this is me all the time, I always have my phone on silent, and people go, why, I called you, and I couldn't get a hold of you. Yeah? Let's read that verse. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Man, if that is not a timely word for today. So many of us are focusing on all the wrong things. We're focusing on the politics. We're focusing on the geopolitical. We're focusing on the vaccine or not the vaccine. We're focusing on everything but what he's called us to. God is speaking to us in our day-to-day lives. He is saying something right now to each and every one of us. It may be something simply, hey, I want to spend time with you today. Crack open the Bible. Let's spend some time together. I want to talk to you. It may be something that simple. It may be, hey, I need you to pray for so-and-so. I need you to take 5 minutes today and pray for so-and-so. Whatever it is. The question is, are we listening? Or are we so distracted that we're not paying attention? You got to listen for your call. Listen for your call. So when it comes, you're prepared, you're ready, you're listening, and then you can do what needs to be done. The next question is, what's your signal like? I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with cell phones and how they work. You heard of 3G, 4G, 5G, heard of all this stuff? Does anybody remember the early days of cell phones? There was the commercial, the early days of cell phones, there was a commercial because everybody knew it was true. It said, do you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Walking all over the place, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And that was so true, the cell phones back then. I think it's true for some of us in our relationship with God. We're prepared, we've read the Bible, we're ready to answer. But then when God says something, we go, huh? What was that? I've had those moments. There was one point in time when I was a young man, years and years ago, and I was in a bad situation where my boss and my people that hired me didn't really appreciate me. They weren't paying me enough. Does anybody relate to that? They didn't pay me enough, and I wasn't appreciated, right? So I started praying about it. And God asked me a question. And I heard it as clear as day. God said, do you depend on them for your livelihood? And I said, well, no, I depend on you. You know, I think what that means is I need to quit my job and go start my own business. Let me just tell you, that was a miserable failure, and I almost got sued in the midst of it because I took what God said, and I did not understand what he was saying to me. I didn't get it. I thought he meant something else. I presupposed that God had you must mean this. What is God saying to you, and are you hearing it right? We need to upgrade our signal. In Ephesians 1:16, it says, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Are you growing in your relationship with the Lord? Are you growing so that when he speaks, you know what he's saying? Or is he having to hit you over the head with a club? Sometimes that's been me. I don't want to be that person. I'll give you another quick story. Back at that same electronics manufacturing plant, I was working with another Vietnamese gentleman, and we were talking about his shoes, because he had some fancy shoes. They had come from Asia somewhere, and I had never seen shoes like it before, but they were some fancy dress shoes. And we started having a conversation about his shoes. And God suddenly tells me, say this word to him. It sounded like a Vietnamese word. And I was like, God, I don't speak Vietnamese. And God said, say it anyway. And I was like, okay, Lord. So I'm having a conversation with him about shoes. At the same time, I'm having a conversation in my head with the Lord about this word. So finally, I say, let me ask you a question. He said, okay. I said, does this word mean anything to you? And he said, nope. And I said, what the heck, God? What was that about? I felt like a fool. But I knew that I'd heard from God, and I knew what he had said. And then he said, say it again. In the meantime, we're still having talks about this guy's shoes. Oh, really? That's how much you paid for them? And in my head, I'm going, God, are you serious? He's already said it doesn't mean anything. God says, say it again. Okay. Are you sure that doesn't mean anything? Let me say it again to you. If I said it again. And he said, well, it means something, but it doesn't make sense. And I went, huh, okay. And as soon as he said that, God said, ask him about his father. And I went, okay. I said, can I ask how you grew up? And he said, yeah, I grew up Catholic. Most Vietnamese people, it's Catholic or Buddhist. And he grew up Catholic. And I said, well, did you have a good relationship with your father? And he said, because we were Catholic, my dad was like God. His word was good. And then immediately God says, his father beat him. And I have to ask the awkward question. Can I ask you a question? He said, what's that? And I said, did your dad ever hit you? And the reaction he had was, you could tell it hit him right between the eyes. And he just said, yes. But he was the authority figure. He was the boss. And God just opened up the door, and I said, hey, just so you know, God wants you to know this. God's not like your father. God doesn't want to beat you, doesn't want to hurt you. God loves you. And let me tell you how much. And I got a chance to just share the gospel with him. That would have never happened. Never would have happened if I hadn't been listening and answered the call. I don't say these things to brag. These were not situations in my life where I was on my best behavior and in top shape. As a matter of fact, I was exhausted. I had been sleeping about 3 hours a day. And so I had come to the end of myself, and I said, when God said something, I was just too tired to argue, is really what it boiled down to. So my question today is for you guys, are you ready to answer the call? Are you ready to answer the call? Here's some helpful things. I just busted it down to the four words: pursue, prepare, listen, and upgrade. Four things you can do to get ready to answer the call and God, that God has for each and every one of us. When the call comes, we just have to do it. Whatever it is. If God says, hey, I need you to pray for someone, it's time to pray. I've got a 12-year-old daughter who's, you know, going on 18. And we just had this conversation with her the other day. Every time we ask her to do something, we have a conversation about it. Well, but why? But why? Anybody ever had kids like that? It's a special blessing. Yeah, thank you. Yes. her mother said that I am that she is my clone. But it's a challenge. We all have that. I got to the point, I said, Zoe, how often do you think that you actually do what we ask you to do the first time? Well, it's about 50-50. It was, wow. It was a rare moment of honesty in our relationship. When God's asking us to do stuff, he's not asking us because he's incapable of doing it himself. It says if we don't cry out, the rocks and the trees will cry out. If we don't praise him, the rocks and the trees, they're going to cry out. God's glory is going to be proclaimed regardless. That's what the word says. So the question is not about God's up there. Oh, man. Sure hope he answers, because if he doesn't, no. God's going, hey, I got an awesome moment for you. I'm going to pour my spirit through you, and someone is going to be healed. I'm going to pour my spirit through you, and someone's going to be raised from the dead. I'm going to pour my spirit through you, and someone is going to be delivered of demonic oppression. I'm going to pour my spirit through you, and someone is going to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's the opportunity. And once you have experienced it, it is life-changing. It's the best high that you've ever known. And it is an eternal high. It's not a one-time thing, and oh man, that was fun. It is something that can happen every day, all day long. God can give you special insight, special knowledge about what's going on around you so that you can pray, so that you can see God move in people's lives. That's what he wants to do. That's what he's calling you for. And hopefully, we will all answer that call. Amen? All right, let's close our eyes real quick. We're just going to pray. Some of us are at different places today. Some of us, our passion has waned. Some of us, we need to upgrade our signal. We hear from the Lord, but we don't always know exactly what he's saying. Some of us, we just need to listen. We need to get rid of the cares of this world that are drowning out his call, and we just need to listen. Some of us, we all need to spend more time in the Word. We need to let him prepare us for what he's about to do in our lives. And some of us have already received the call. You already know. When this message was preached this morning, you heard it and you knew exactly what it was that you need to be doing. You just need to do it. You need to do what he's called you to do. Wherever you're at today, we're going to ask the Lord to give us the strength, the wisdom, to do whatever it is, whatever step on that journey that we need to take, wherever we're at. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you live inside of us, that you are speaking to us daily, moment by moment. We pray that today we would be sensitive to you and what you're telling us to do. Lord God, we pray that we would soak in your word and that we would prepare our hearts, Lord Jesus, so that when you call us, whatever that calling is, however big or small, that we would be ready. And Lord God, we pray that we would hear your voice and that we would do the things that you've called us to do. We pray that you give us the courage, that you give us the wisdom. We pray that you give us the resources. Lord, I pray that every person in this place right now would be blessed, Lord God. Blessed beyond measure. Lord, you have got incredible things. What you want to do for us defies our imagination. We can't even think of the good things that you want to do in and through us. And we thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you that you are a good God and you have good plans for us. Lord, it doesn't matter what's going on outside these four walls. It doesn't matter what's going on outside in the world. That doesn't matter. What matters is you and your kingdom, Lord God. We pray that we would, as we go And as we answer your call, that we would be ambassadors of your kingdom. That where we go, Lord, your kingdom would go. Your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're praying today, Lord God. We thank you for doing it. We thank you for hearing us, that you are not a deaf mute God, but that you are a living God that speaks to us, and we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, come and fill us that we may do all of the good works that you have for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.